Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from Romans, the 9th chapter, where Paul says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. Dear friends of Christ, as believers, you know, we always deal with two emotions. We have great joy in knowing that we're saved. Great, great joy, because we know that nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a great comfort for us, those words. And of course, as unbelievers, they don't have that comfort because they are separated. They're not united. They're not bound to Christ. So we have joy over our salvation, but there is sorrow. There's anguish and sadness when we think about all the people that we know who don't know Jesus and who don't believe in Him. In our text, the Apostle Paul expresses his deep felt love that he has for the lost. And he describes it again in incredible words, great sorrow, unceasing anguish. Got me to thinking, how much sorrow and anguish do I have over the lost? Does your heart ache? Well, I'm sure it does if you think about it enough, because we don't want anybody to burn in the flames of hell for all eternity. We wouldn't wish that even on our worst enemies. But there is a heaven, and there is a hell. What do we do with that reality? Well, heaven is for those whose sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Unfortunately, again, the unbelievers don't possess the cleansing blood of Christ. Their loss and eternal hell is their destination. That's a horrific reality. Horrific. There is a hell for those who don't believe. When they die, they don't go to a better place. What do we do with that truth? Well, avoiding it or not talking about it in order to, you know, protect our hearts about how we feel about all that isn't the solution. So, like Paul, we embrace it. And we let the Holy Spirit use that concern to increase our concern about the lost. And we let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts to have a compassion. Paul grieves for those who are cut off. He says, I have great sorrow, unceasing anguish in my heart. And so our theme for this morning, I want to be more like Paul. You know, Paul loved the Jewish people. He considered those Jewish people, his contemporaries, to be his family. He even calls them brothers. But listen again how Paul anguishes over them. You know, these are the people that kept rejecting Jesus. They kept walking away from Jesus. They'd hear God's word and immediately deny it in anger. They kept turning. Their rejection wounded Paul's heart. Please listen. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish. Paul says he's not lying. He's not overstating the case. There is a hell, and they're going there. He's not exaggerating. He's not getting too emotional. He's just simply stating the truth with a conviction that's led by the Holy Spirit. The lost are going to hell, and it hurts. Paul deeply wanted them to come to faith. Matter of fact, he was willing to go to hell so that they would live. Wish that I were damned. I wish that I were cursed. Wish that I were sent to hell. I'd give up my life so that all of them could go. But they refused. It's much like the people today. In stubborn rebellion, they hear the word, but they mock it, they laugh at it. They don't receive it. They refuse to believe, and they reject Jesus. Has the Holy Spirit put the burden of their lost souls on your soul? Again, listen to Paul's words. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The good news is that there is a heaven, and all those whose sins have been cleansed by the blood of Christ will be there. The bad news, there is a hell. It's an unpopular topic, something that some pastors won't even talk about today. A recent poll, however, indicates that 31% of Americans, 31% believe that there is not a place of physical torment where people will be sent. Yet Jesus spoke of hell as a place of eternal fire and where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you read the book of Romans, you will be convicted. You read the book of Romans and you understand no one can escape God's judgment. No one's going to escape his wrath and the punishment that's to come. And there's only one way. There's only one way of escape. There's only one hope. Only one solution. Jesus. People don't have power to avoid God's wrath on their own. We can't save ourselves. Romans 2 says this about people who think they're religious and that somehow being religious, they're going to be in heaven. No matter who you are, if you judge anyone, you have no excuse. When you judge another person, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, are doing the same things they're doing. We know that God's judgment is right when He condemns people for doing these things. When you judge people for doing these things, but then you do them yourself, do you think you're going to escape God's judgment? The words of Romans 3 condemns us all. There is no one righteous. Not even one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can't get into heaven by being nice. Our good neighbors, our good friends, the good people in our community who don't believe in Jesus, who don't cling to Him, will one day face God's eternal wrath. They'll forever perish because their righteousness is not good enough to please God. The book of Romans makes it clear. Sinners can only be saved through the blood of Christ. That's the only way we can be righteous. Through the blood of His righteousness. There's only one way to be justified or declared innocent or to be declared guilty or not guilty. And that's through Jesus. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned, but then it goes on to say, and are justified freely by His grace, by His love, unforgiving love, or enduring love, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. If your heart aches for the lost, then you join Paul, but you also join Jesus too. Jesus, His heart broke. Matthew records how Jesus felt. He saw a large crowd coming toward Him, and it says, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The lost, they need to be taught. The lost, they need to be told. They need to hear God's word. The sheep, lost sheep, can't survive on their own. They're easy prey for the enemy, and they'll be devoured. And so we pray, Jesus, make me more like You. Jesus, make me more like Paul. Give me a compassion for the lost. Make my heart hurt. Yes, I want to be more like Paul. Paul wanted to save the Jewish people he loved, and he writes, I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of the brothers, for those of my own race. Now, notice he says, for I wish I could. Of course, it's impossible for Paul to give his life to save others. Psalm 49 says, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. For the ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough." And yet, Jesus was able to pay the price. Jesus was cut off. He became a curse for us. He gave his life, forsaken by his heavenly Father, to die in our place. And we're privileged to believe all that. We're privileged to be saved. We're privileged to have our sins washed away, to be called the children of God, to receive the inheritance. We're also privileged to be able to have the ability to tell others about it. How does your heart ache? What are you willing to do to save lost souls from hell? Well, once again, I want to be more like Paul. He endured all kinds of sufferings just to tell other people about Jesus. I mean, he was imprisoned. He was beaten for talking about Jesus. He made all kinds of personal sacrifices. And he gives us a list of all that he was willing to do so that people might believe in Jesus to save the lost. Five times I was received from the Jews, 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day upon the sea. And the list goes on. You know, this is a stone. This is what his own people did when he proclaimed God's word to them. They picked up the stones and they hurled it at him for talking about Jesus. These were his own people. Why? Because he wanted them to believe in Jesus and be saved. He wanted them to listen. He wanted them to learn. What are we willing to do? What was God willing to do? Well, we know what God is willing to do in order that we might listen. He sent Jesus. He sent our Savior who came into this world in human flesh and he held back nothing. He gave everything that he had. He literally gave everything. And he died. Why? Because you're that important to him. Your soul is that important to him. But Jesus not only wants to save your soul, he wants to save everyone. Unfortunately, many refuse to believe. But don't get discouraged. Jesus didn't. He just did everything necessary. But don't give up because people won't listen. Paul didn't give up. He just continued doing everything that was necessary to bring souls to salvation. And Paul never blamed God. You know, people are going to hell. Yes. And in large numbers. But Paul never pointed an angry finger at God and blamed him for all that rebellion. He never blamed God for hell. He simply saw the cure. And the cure is Jesus. And he proclaimed the cure. The lost, they aren't saved. They don't know their souls are in eternal danger. Or if they do know, they simply don't care. Peter knew he was in danger when he was drowning. He was sinking in the waters. He raised up his hand and said, "Jesus, save me." And Jesus grabbed his hand and pulled him out of the water. "Lord, save me." That's what Jesus wants to hear from the world. "Lord, save me." And he's done everything in his power to accomplish that, to lift them out of their sins, to wash them clean with his blood, and to give them eternal life. Jesus reaches out to the lost. He reaches out to you. In our text, Paul writes about those lost Israelites. They're Israelites. They're God's adopted children. They have Moses' teachings, the true worship, and the promises. The Messiah is descended from their ancestors according to our human nature. The Israelites had every opportunity to believe, but many of them simply refused. They rejected God despite all the evidence. Read your Bible history. Look what God had done for them. God adopted them. God chose them, made them His own people. Sent Moses to free them from slavery. And the waters of the Red Sea split, and they saw all that. They witnessed all that. In the desert, they saw the Egyptian army drown in the waters. In the desert, God gave them water and manna and quail to eat. He provided for them, gave them the Ten Commandments, gave them the covenants and the promises. Even promised them gave them the promised land. And God swore. God promised, I will give you a Savior. I will deliver you from your sins. And I will deliver you from condemnation. God blessed the people. God guided the people. God protected the people. And yet they rejected Him. They turned to other gods. They loved other things. They worshiped other things. They believed other things. They watched the priests make bloody sacrifices, but they didn't get it that the blood of the sacrifices pointed to Jesus, because He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They rejected all that. They had His promises. And God even told them, you're My servant. I've chosen you. I haven't rejected you. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you. Don't be intimidated. I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will support you with My victorious right hand. What a promise. Why would they reject it? Why indeed? Why turn away from the Lord? Why would anybody risk dying without Jesus? Our Old Testament lesson extends God's invitation to all. Incline your ear and come to Me. Hear, that your soul may live. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.